Bicycling is hardly new in Anchorage. We've got some gorgeous pathways along creeks and coastline and out toward Kincaid Park. But there is something new about biking in Anchorage, a plan. A plan to create a network of connected routes so that bicycling can become a part of a larger transportation system in Anchorage. This kind of cycling is considered utility cycling. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. We're going to spend the next hour talking about Anchorage's proposed bicycle plan, which was approved by our Planning and Zoning Commission last November. Now it's headed to the Assembly, where residents can give public testimony on it next Tuesday, March 2nd. So it's a good time to get up to speed. Now, I can tell you from the number of emails we've already gotten that there are some folks who are very up to speed on this plan, a number of comments related to the ongoing rewrite of Title IX as it relates to bicyclists. But just yesterday, I was talking to a colleague who rides his bike to work every day, and I asked him about the Anchorage bicycle plan, and as dependent as he is on his bike, he didn't know about it. So I hope our show today will add to public knowledge about this new view of bicycling in our town. I hope we can explore how this 20-year plan will come to be, how it will unfold, how it will look, what roads will get treatment, what won't and why, and how we plan to pay for it. We're very lucky today to have two experts on the topic with us. Lori Skanke. Hi,
hello.
Lori.
Hi.
Coordinates non-motorized transportation in Anchorage and is one of the people who worked a lot of, well, years on this plan, actually. And Brian Littmans is here on the line with us. He's founder of a local advocacy and education group, Bicycle Commuters of Anchorage. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, I just want you to know we hope to hear from you. You can call 550-8433 in Anchorage, or if you're statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And this is all during our live broadcast from 2 to 3. We'll air this program again at 10 tonight, but there's no call-in at that time. And you can also send email to hometownalaska@kska.org. And we'll refer to some of those probably during the show. We already have some in front of us. I'm going to go right to Lori and start with, why do we need a bicycle plan?
Well, the reason we need a bicycle plan is we really need to make it safer for people who are trying to get around town, whether they're bicycling to work, bicycling to school, running errands. And it's amazing because when I first started with the bicycle plan, I thought, well, we just put in more pathways. And I hate calling them bicycle paths, but we put in more pathways. And then when we had a meeting with the public, we overheard, we heard resounding thoughts saying, no, we need to be on the road. It's just not as safe being on the separate pathways.
Mm-hmm. When I was getting ready for this show, I went into a couple bike shops and just talked to the people there and that were working there. And I said, so what's new in biking? And they said, it's commuting. That's what's new in biking. Mm-hmm. And that it began about 2 years ago with the rise in oil prices and gas prices and people thinking, well, I think I'll get my bike out of the garage and save a little money. And then as the seasons changed, they didn't really want to give it up. So they basically told me that the growth in commuting is really where it is in bicycling. And that's what this plan is really going to try to address, whether it's to school or even to shopping areas. I mean, I know it's not just to and from work, but it's to places that attract people and using the bike as another way to get there instead of the car.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Brian, we want to talk to you a little bit about this business of getting on the road. Because a lot of people, and I would put myself in that category, I am actually more comfortable on the side of the road and, you know, off on a separated path. And yet the data shows that that's not really the safest place to be. So could we talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the things that is highlighted in the Anchorage Bicycle Plan is that the current infrastructure heavily relies upon what many people in Anchorage know as the multi-use paths, the separated pathways that are adjacent to many of our major roads. And some of those multi-use paths, for example, there's a multi-use path along Lake Otis. And many of these multi-use paths have numerous intersections, numerous crossings with driveways or alleys or smaller streets dumping into Lake Otis. And as the bicyclist travels down these multi-use paths, oftentimes they end up in dangerous situations where they're crossing these driveways, but the motorist can't see them. The problem is exacerbated because there's only, often the scenario is that there's only one multi-use path on one side of the road. And so you have bicyclists traveling on the path against traffic. So a motorist who's pulling out off of one of these driveways or smaller streets and trying to merge onto Lake Otis is going to be perhaps looking to their left, and a bicyclist is coming from the right. And so you get a recipe for a bike-car collision.
Yeah.
And indeed, the Anchorage bike plan, the planners noted that that was the most common collision that they found, a T-bone type crash where the driver doesn't see the bicyclist coming. And I think 80% of the bike-car collisions recorded over the last decade, approximately, 80% resulted in injuries. So these are serious incidents. We have bicyclists using the pathways because that's where they feel safe. But when we look at the statistics and we look at what we're seeing elsewhere in the country and overseas, the safer place to be is on the road, in a bike lane, or on a bikeway, perhaps a buffered bike lane, but on the road where the motorist can see the bicyclist, the bicyclist has their own travel lane, and the motorist expects them to be in that bicycle lane, and their actions are much more predictable.
Well, it sounds like a learning curve for everybody, you know, not just the bicyclists who have to consider traveling in the road, but also the drivers who, you know, need to see and recognize and allow bikers in the road and realize that that's a good place for them to be. And I know that I've been in other cities where I see a lot of that. I guess it's something that must emerge over time, like a realization. What do you think about that? And you know, is education a part of this bike plan?
Well, I guess I can take a stab at that first, and Lori can certainly jump in. Education is a big component of the bike plan. And I think we will see that there is a little bit of time for motorists to understand the bicycle lanes, but it's actually quite, you know, once they see where the bicyclists are and where the bike lanes are, they get it. And we've seen in other cities across the country where you put bicycle lanes in, the incidence of collisions drop, and it becomes safer for bicyclists.
But what about snow? I mean, snow would have a way of obscuring our best efforts. Is it something we wouldn't do in winter, or we would do it and we'd be out on the road in winter? What about that? Either one of you, who feels best to respond to that?
Let me just comment briefly on that. I think if we look to other cities, and we focus right in on the city in the United States with the second highest bicycle ridership. That city is Minneapolis, and they deal with snow, obviously, quite a bit of it. And they've done quite a lot of work to put in bike lanes because they, too, were having issues with safety, and bicycle lanes are one of the solutions to addressing the safety problem and also getting more people on bicycles because they feel safe. So they put the bike lanes in, and they plow them, and they provide an opportunity for people to continue to ride their bikes in winter on the road.
Mm-hmm. So it would be a wide area on the side of the road that in summer you would see painted, but in winter you wouldn't, but it would be plowed, and even if you didn't see the demarcation, it would be wide enough. And basically it becomes a question of you get used to this space, you get used to the way, you know, moving down the road and how much space and width actually that you have. So have you talked to any planners from Minneapolis? Was there a learning curve there for people to kind of adjust to this?
I think it's everywhere that, you know, but once you get the lanes in, then the awareness starts. You include things in your DMV, and we're trying to do that as well. And it is just an educational opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's one of those, if you build it, they will come. I don't know how many of you use Elmore Road, but in the last couple of years that that's been open, it's been incredible how many bicyclists are actually using the bike lanes.
And even in winter?
Yes.
Even in winter. Well, that's really interesting. By the way, I forgot to tell folks that the link to the plan is on the KSKA website. So you can go to kska.org and find this plan that we're talking about today. And also, Brian gave me some really interesting links for people who are new to this topic who might want to see what other winter cities are doing. For example, I think there was a blog from Copenhagen where they have – I think something like 80% of the people come into the downtown center by bike. So when they have a snowfall there, the bike paths get plowed right away.
Actually, bike lanes. They put an extra small plow right on the road. And mm-hmm. I think they said they had 400,000 cyclists going to work every day.
That's amazing. That's mm-hmm. amazing. So I want to hear from some bicyclists here who might want to call in and tell us about their experience. We're at 550-8433 and 888-353-5752 if you're outside of Anchorage. Or you can send us an email at hometownalaska@kska.org. By the way, I mentioned at the opening of the show that we had a number of people who sort of sent in their thoughts early, and one of them was about gravel and the idea of how the paths is the wrong word. I'm sorry. I'm struggling with the language because there's a whole glossary in the plan mm-hmm. about, which was really fun to read, but maintaining these on-road places for bicycles to be, there was a woman who wrote in and said, "Well, we had issues with gravel. How are we looking at maintenance in this plan?"
Maintenance last year was very trying for a lot of people. The roads in Anchorage are municipal and state, and the state contractor was having difficulties. They had a low budget. They'd never done it before. And they also, the way our maintenance guys now look at gravel removal, which is a big thing for bicyclists, is they look at it logically. They start on one side of town and they work to the other. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're noting in the bicycle plan is that we'd really like to work with the maintenance crews and to do it logically based on where our routes are, you know, where we've got bike lanes. And one of the big hammers that goes along with this is water quality, because if the gravel is not cleaned up, they get reported to the DEC.
Some incentives there. What about the issues on a lane that's on the side of the road? You know, if we go this route, will there be drains and things like that in the way of the cyclists, or are these lanes kind of designed a little bit differently? Because as you're moving to the right of the road, you see some of those things on roads.
Well, there are situations with drain inlets on the side, and usually what they need is a different grate so that the slots go sideways. And I know last year we had a situation because Arctic was just redone, and we had someone call in and say, you know, they put the wrong drain inlet cover in and it's catching bike tires. And basically, we went out right away and changed it out. So that is something we have to watch for. And they missed it there when they built it.
So it's like some retrofitting has to go on.
Yes.
And of course, we're going to get around to how we're going to pay for all this. But in some cases, it'll be, you know, a new road or a new renovation of a road where this will be built in. But we'll talk about that. I'd like to talk to Eric. Eric, you've got a question about trail completion?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a bicycle commuter. I commute mainly in the summertime from basically Baxter and Northern Lights all the way across the town to Sand Lake and Raspberry. And what would really help me is the completion of Campbell Creek underneath the Seward Highway. Is that somewhere on the list of projects?
Well, Lori is smiling, so let's go to Lori and see what she says.
Yeah, Eric, that is probably the most popular item that people request. And when we first started working on the Campbell Creek Greenbelt Trail, that was back in 1991, and we were assured by DOT that, yes, they would build that when they put in the Seward Highway project. So I've seen the drawings, and they are going to be connecting underneath, and I believe it's 2012. So it's coming. It's not coming fast enough, but basically, as you know, if you've crawled under there, they have to replace all of 5 roadway bridges to give enough height, and they are going to build it.
So it's a big job.
Quite a project, but yes. I appreciate that that's on the list.
That it's on the list. Great. Well, thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Barbara, what's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I'm real excited about this bike plan, and I, too, am a commuter in the summertime. I just don't have the nerve to do it in the wintertime, but I commute from East Anchorage, way out in Muldoon, to South Anchorage, Diamond Mall area. And presently, I go down Tudor Road, and I do feel way safer on the road than trying to be on the shared use trails that drivers pull out, cut me off. They just don't see me, or they just don't take me seriously. I'm not sure what the deal is, but I am on the road for the most part going down Tudor. But there are some extremely mean drivers that are just damn determined to hassle me. Mm-hmm. And then once I get on the multi-use trails along the creek, there's a lot of people who walk, and they're not paying attention to bicyclists. So that's another real problem sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even recreational riders, people with little children that don't know the rules. So I'm real excited about them putting lanes on the road,
mm-hmm.
to where I will feel like the drivers have to respect me, and I'll be able to go fast.
You know, thanks, Barbara. Thanks for sharing your experience and also your willingness to, you know, move out into the road if that's the safest place to be. So thank you.
Well, it does take some nerve.
Yeah.
but I definitely feel safer because the cars do see me and they say, well, she's got, you know, enough guts to be out here. We'll just give her a little space. But there's just that, you know, 1 in 100 driver that honks at me or they just brush right up next to me. It's really, really scary when you encounter someone like that. And I'm also real excited to hear about the crossing under the Seward Highway. That'll be great. Right now I have to take the Dowling traffic circles, and boy, that's kind of frightening on a bike.
So how long is your commute? It sounds like you do it a lot.
It's about 7.5 miles
uh-huh.
each way.
Uh-huh. And how long does it take you?
At best, 35 minutes. That's coming downhill,
mm-hmm.
And coming back usually about 45 minutes.
Going uphill on the way home, huh?
Yeah. So it's at best 35 minutes, and typically 45 to even 50 minutes depends on what's going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Barbara.
All right.
I think... Oh, go ahead, Lori.
I just would like to comment on Barbara's commute because you won't find... Tudor Road on the bike plan as listed as a place to bicycle. When we looked at the plan, we also looked at a federal highways calculation where it examines the BCI or bicycle compatibility index, and that kind of looks at the speed of the traffic, the width of the road, the zoning district you're going through, and we were trying not to identify roads that were sort of scary, which Tudor Road definitely is a kind of scary road.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want people to know that Barbara's really out there.
Yeah, Brian.
And be safe.
Yeah, Brian, I wanted to just tap into you because you're a writer. You're out on the streets. Do you have any advice for Barbara about that or anybody who's thinking about getting out there?
Certainly. Well, I think this is the question really behind the bicycle plan. And or one of two questions. One is providing safety, and the other is providing connectivity, so that your route is convenient. But it's really on the first prong, on the safety prong. It's making sure that the bicyclist is comfortable. If the bicyclist isn't comfortable, they're not going to get on their bike. And so the bicycle plan is trying to provide a bike network across Anchorage where there are basically safe zones for bicyclists. And bike lanes is one of the means to achieve that. You create a travel lane that's solely for bicyclists, so they know it's their own space. The motorists know it's their space. The motorists expect the bicyclist to be out there. So the comfort for the bicyclist rises, and that gives them the feeling that it's okay to get on the bike and go, mm-hmm. And get to work in a safe means.
So it's a kind of claim your space idea?
Well, I think it's just being able to recognize that there are multiple travel lanes, and one of them is for bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bicyclist can be in that travel lane and feel like that's their space.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody recognizes that and is comfortable with it and expects bicyclists to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, without bicycle lanes, motorists aren't really sure whether or not to expect bicyclists on roads. And if they do see a bicyclist on the road, they may be quite surprised that the bicyclist is there. They may feel like the bicyclist shouldn't be there,
mm-hmm.
Even though the bicyclist has a right to be on the road and use the road. So it creates confusion, and that's not helpful either from a safety standpoint, because it's easier when everybody understands what other entities, whether bicyclists or cars, are doing on the road. But I guess as far as the question of what to do when you don't have a bicycle lane, there's certainly right now traveling through Midtown is a challenge for bicyclists. And while BCA is very supportive of the bicycle plan and creating a network with bicycle lanes, we also recognize that there are many times when a bicyclist is out in Anchorage and it's not safe to be on a road because the volume is too high. You know, we're talking about roads that are maybe four or five lanes wide, all in one direction. The speed is too high,
mm-hmm.
and motorists aren't expecting bicyclists, so they're not looking out for them.
And essentially, we're not going to put those streets on the plan. We're going to try to sort of route people into different. That sounds like where we're going, especially with Tudor Road, for an example.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and another thing that I do that I wish more people would do is to be as visible as possible for the drivers. I wear bright clothes no matter how many layers. I've got all this bright and reflective stuff on. So in the summertime when I'm primarily riding, but it might be rainy or cloudy, I've got the lights on, I've got my helmet on, and it's brightly colored. So I am standing out as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and I think that really, really helps.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. You want to be noticed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
All right. Well, thank you, and thank you, Lori and Brian. I'm fully in support of this bicycle plan.
Thanks, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
I mentioned that we had some emailers early on talking about Title IX, and we do have a caller. I wanted to thank Christy Neptune and Anna and also Corey Hines, who wrote in this morning about the rewrite. But, Don, you're on the phone now, and you've got something to say about it. So let's hear from you.
Yeah, thank you for taking my phone call. I'm a bicycle commuter also, like Barbara. I come from the Muldoon side, and I head to the UMed district area. And I go down that road that Lori was talking about. There's a multi-use trail, so I go down the sidewalk all the way. And like Brian was saying earlier, on my return home, I have to cross traffic. Traffic is not headed the direction I am, so I am going against traffic oftentimes because there's just not a bike route on the other side of the road. And there's a number of times that I've come into situations where, you know, I have to be extremely, extremely vigilant for motorists. They're trying to turn right onto Tudor Road and, you know, they're not able to stop or they can't stop or they don't stop for whatever reason. And that is the situation that Title IX is addressing.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest part of the problem with this Title IX rewrite is that it's placing children at the biggest risk. So the law is saying that motorists are now going to have to be, bicyclists are going to have to be responsible. They are the ones who are going to have to yield to the motorists. And so the people that this is placing at the biggest risk are small children riding their bicycles in their neighborhoods, going to the school, going to their neighbor's house, mm-hmm. playing with their friends, or going to the playground. And so this Title IX rewrite is something that I'm not supportive of at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Dawn. And I, to try to get ready for the show, I ended up calling the APD and talking to Sergeant Dahl, who, you know, told me that this is in the process. And the thing I wanted to bring to the show today for people is that there is a public process going on with the rewrite of Title IX, and the bicycle section is, you can go to, in fact, I put this link on the kska.org site. You can go to the Title IX rewrite section of the Muni's website, and you can read the existing language and the proposed language, and you can also see a timetable for when you can weigh in on that. And from my reading of it, it looks to me that the pedestrian rights and duties and the bicycle area will be discussed May 20th at 3 p.m. in the permit center room. So I just, you know, the police officer said, you know, we have people's safety is what we're thinking about. We're trying to move everybody safely down these paths, but there are definitely differing viewpoints about that. So I just want people to know there is a public process and they have the opportunity to weigh in and influence it to the best of their ability. So I bet you'll be there, Dawn, right?
Yeah, I will. And actually, looking at the numbers, since this law was changed, I believe it was 2004, the number of vehicle collisions and crashes have gone down from 170, I think, and Lori would have these numbers a little bit more readily available than I do. I think from 170 down to about 120. Lori, does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that does, Dawn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I really am supporting this plan, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I've been bicycle commuting in Anchorage for almost 20 years now, and I actually feel that motorists are becoming friendlier towards me. So I think this is this bicycle plan is coming at a really good time for Anchorage. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Dawn. I'd like to hear from Joe. Joe, you've been waiting to talk. Are you there? It looks like we lost Joe, so that's no problem. I want to thank Lori and Brian. We're here to take your calls and questions. I want to emphasize, actually, for folks and remind folks that we've got a lot of really good links on the KSKA.org website, which is an easy way to find things from multiple places, including I was asking a lot of questions about snow, and one of the links on the site is a blog of someone living in Copenhagen and bicycling and commenting on the way they clear their bike paths in winter. So I found that very interesting. There's also a link to something called Complete Streets, which goes sort of hand in hand with this bike plan in that you're looking at bikes as part of the transportation system, and Complete Streets is in that. So if people want to kind of get up to speed on the thinking about this, that's a good link, and that's on the site. So let's see, where to go from here, Lori? We've talked about... the reason I went to that caller is there was a question about property taxes, and I thought that probably we were going to get around to the area where we discuss how we're going to pay for this. But I think that before we do this, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back with Lori and Brian. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and this is Hometown Alaska.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the show repeats tonight at 10. Remember, tonight's recorded rebroadcast will not be taking phone calls. Following this afternoon's broadcast, you can also find a copy of today's Hometown Alaska online at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and we are talking about the Anchorage Bicycle Plan, which is new and kind of includes bicycles in a sort of an overview of the transportation system in Anchorage. And it's going to it's not going to the Assembly, but you can comment on it March 2nd, which is next Tuesday. So we thought this was a great time to sort of talk about the plan and let people, if you're not aware of it, sort of raise your awareness and get your questions answered. And so I'm with Lori Skanke, who is non-motorized transportation coordinator in Anchorage and one of the people that worked hard on this plan. I think it goes back to 2007 when they were taking input for it. And we're also on with Brian Littman, who is the founder of Bicycle Commuters of Anchorage, an education and advocacy group for bicycle commuters. So welcome back to both of you. And I was going to go ahead and take a call from Julie, who has a question about bicycle bells. What's on your mind, Julie?
Hi there, this is Julie, and I'm very happy that a plan will be coming. I'm a pedestrian, usually. I don't ride my bike that much, and I'm very happy that the bicyclers are out there. I have a request for the bicyclers, and that is to please put bike bells on your bikes and use them. I don't wear headphones when I'm walking, yet I cannot quite often hear bikes coming, especially when they're coming fast speed, and I get the daylight scared out of me when they go whizzing by. Some people are very kind and call in advance, but sometimes they don't say anything until they're on your shoulder, and it's really dangerous. I actually got run over one time by someone who was riding a bike, and I heard them at the last minute, and I stepped to the right, and they decided to go around me on the right and ran into me, and then proceeded to swear a blue streak at how it was my fault, and it was very frustrating. So my request is, please, bicyclists, put one of those nice toned bells on your bike and use it in advance so that pedestrians can hear you coming. It would be really great.
Thank you, Julie.
Well, and Julie, I just wanted to add that as part of Title IX, which is the law about bicycles, bicyclists are to give either a bell or an audible warning when they are passing. So that is something bicyclists should be doing. So none of us likes to be scared or injured.
Thank you. And if they could do the audible well in advance, and if it's right when they're passing you, it just doesn't do that much. Or if they do it, they need to do it audible, as in that you can really hear, and people are sometimes shy about it. And those bells, they really carry, and it's a very pleasant sound. So please use them.
Well, that's a good comment, Julie, and part of everybody's education. I know when I was talking to Sergeant Dahl the other day, he said that he hears stories from bicyclists on the road where motorists are rude to them verbally, or mostly verbally, and then he says he gets the same thing from pedestrians on bike paths. And so it seems like everybody needs to sort of, you know, have respect for one another, be mindful that you want everybody to be safe and accommodated for as we move around our city. We want that, you know. So I did not know that you had to have a bike bell. That was news information for me. So I'm going to go out and buy one. So thanks very much for that, Julie.
Thank you.
Jay, you have a question about Midtown?
Well, yeah, actually, I do have a question about Midtown, but first I wanted to just say thanks for doing the show, Kathleen. It's great. And also thanks to Bicycle Commuters and to Lori and everybody at the Muni for writing a great plan. And I think that last caller was a perfect example of what I hope this plan will accomplish, and that's just letting everybody know what we should expect from each other. I don't think that the weather in Anchorage precludes year-round bicycle commuting for a lot of people. You know, it's wonderful here. You should see the people in Fairbanks, where I just lived for 10 years riding bikes when it's 40 below. It's not the weather, and it's not really the size of the streets that, you know, causes conflicts. It's just that we don't really have an accepted way of moving around each other, you know, and I think this bike plan is a perfect start to trying to just make sure that motorists know when bicycles are allowed and where they're allowed, and so they can, you know, look for them and be careful. It's so bicyclists can be respectful of pedestrians and where they need to be. And I think this plan, more so than, you know, designating money and more so than making bike lane space or connecting trails, what it's going to do, I hope, is make everyone in Anchorage or help everyone in Anchorage understand each other's needs, you know, from these different, you know, transportation groups, you know, so that we, you know, because if I'm riding down, and I'll go to Midtown now, if I'm riding down 36th Avenue, for example, I live in Spinard, I bought a house here, and I travel across Midtown sometimes, and I'm going down 36th Avenue, there's a lot of pedestrians on the sidewalk there, and there's 40-mile-an-hour traffic on the street. And that's a tough place to ride a bike, and I don't really know where else to go. I know I ride on the road on 36th Avenue year-round, and I have a lot of lights and a lot of reflective clothing, but it's still really dangerous. I can hit a pedestrian if I'm on the sidewalk and people are buzzing me, you know, inches away from me from my elbow. But I think that if people are looking for me and they know that I, you know, if the motorists know that I deserve a space on that road, I think that people are pretty cool about it and they'll move. And I think if the pedestrian knows that I need to respect them with a bell or an audible warning, then they can understand what to expect. And that's what I hope this bike plan will do, is explain to everybody, including the police, what is expected of them. And I think that'll make it easier to be a bicyclist and a pedestrian and a motorist in Anchorage, and it'll make our city more livable. And I'm really proud of this plan, and congratulations, you guys.
Well, thanks a lot for that call, Jay. I really appreciate it. And I just want to put the numbers out there again for our callers. We're getting a lot of calls. This is obviously a topic that people care about. If you're in Anchorage, you can call 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. We're here with Lori Skanky from the municipality. She's one of the writers of this plan. And we also have Brian Littmans on the phone, who is a founder of Bicycle Commuters of Anchorage, which is an advocacy and education group. Let's see. I want to – we talked a little bit about the challenges of what it's like to actually get on your bike in winter. And we have a caller, Chris, who wants to talk about winter cycling. Is this something that you do, Chris?
I haven't done it this winter, but I did it a lot last winter because I was living a little bit closer to the university.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, in some areas of town, it's really easy. In other areas, it's pretty difficult. I did some winter bicycling on Tudor once. That was awful. And so I'm actually really excited about the bike plan, because it'll be nice to have these sections of the road that even the winter will be available for use.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit frightened about how our motorists like to spread out over the winter and change four-lane roads into three-lane roads, and I'm kind of a little bit worried those bike areas will get swallowed. I mean, right now you can either get on the road and just chance it, or you can try and weave your way through the neighborhoods. Neither one is, in some areas, neither one's really a great option. So I'm really excited about the bike plan, actually. But with studs and things like that on your bicycle, it's very easy to bicycle in the winter. I have never really noticed any problems with losing traction or anything like that, even on warm days where the ice was wet.
Mm-hmm. That's true, although I have to say I have bicycling friends who tell me some stories about bicycling in winter. So I think it might depend on the quality of your studs, maybe, and maybe your speed and a lot, and, you know, what you encounter on the road too, probably.
Yeah. I've slid a couple times, but the biggest thing is, as some people have commented, the same thing I used to have trouble with back when I used to ride a motorcycle, is just people sometimes think that because you're small, you don't need very much space, and they forget that those big vehicles will pull you towards them as they speed by.
Right, right. Actually, that was one of the things we talked about before the show started, was really this idea of how close you need to be to a bicyclist, right, Lori? We talked a little bit about people's comfort zones there, and some people... I mean, that's part of the education process, people kind of getting a gauge for how close their car can be safely to a cyclist, or how close a cyclist can be to a car. Is there any research on that, or is there just recommendations? Or
I think when we were talking last summer, it was Brian was involved with this conversation too. I think, weren't we saying, Brian, 3 feet minimum?
There's a campaign across the nation seeking to amend state and city laws pertaining to safe passing distance, and they're focusing at a minimum of three 3 feet. I think there's about 28 states now that have a law that addresses what a safe passing distance is. In the Anchorage Municipal Code, it just says that you need to provide a reasonably safe distance, but it doesn't articulate what that safe distance is. And so I think across the nation, people are trying to get greater clarity to ensure that bicyclists are given enough space so they feel comfortable, and also so motorists know what's expected of them. A motorist may feel that a reasonably safe distance is a foot because they've never been on a bike and they don't understand that's really going to encroach on the bicyclist space and make them incredibly uncomfortable, and it is dangerous. Several states have passed these laws for 3 feet. There's a couple that are pushing for 4 or 5 feet, but at least a few feet is requisite to give enough space for a bicyclist to stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Laura, I've been watching you make all kinds of notes, and I haven't really given you a chance to jump in, so go ahead. I mean, are there some points that you want to make that respond to these callers?
No, I just like keeping track of people and you know what how they react and their thoughts on things, because I think it's really important, especially as this plan comes before the assembly. If you do plan to go and testify, it's really good to get up and not just say I support the plan, but give a personal story and choose something from the plan and like the education aspect or the fact that the right hook turns and justify why it's important that the plan passes. I think there may be some people that don't understand. There'll be people that look at the dollar signs and say, you know, we don't need to spend more money. We're cutting all this stuff. And there are so many personal stories and safety reasons for having a bicycle plan. So I just like to keep track of that. It helps cement it in my mind.
Sure. I know I looked at something Brian gave me. It was the transportation planner in New York City, and one of the remarks she made was in a certain period of years, we're going to have a million more people in this city, and our roads will not accommodate them. So we absolutely have to figure out ways to make safe bicycling and easy use of transit and all kinds of things like that. Well, Anchorage may not be getting a million people, but what I really am impressed and happy about is that we're looking ahead. This is a 20-year plan. This is going to roll out over time. So you're going to see activity in the city, things changing. It's not going to happen tomorrow. We're not going to blink and have this network, but I like the looking ahead in any city. You know, you feel good about a city that's doing that. So I'm just applaud it for that reason. I want to go to a caller. Beth is online, and you have a question about the new trail map, Beth?
Hi, this is Beth.
Hi.
I'm on. Okay, great. This is Beth Nordland. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Beth.
I just wanted to let listeners know that there's a new trail map out, and it was created as a tool for bike commuters, actually, so that they can figure out the best route to use when traveling throughout the city. Lori probably knows best how it actually works and how good the drawings are as an indication of the best route.
But this is not part of the bike trail plan, right? This is not about part of the Anchorage bike plan.
It's a map you can buy at REI and various stores, but I'm with the Anchorage Park Foundation.
I see.
We printed it at the request of REI employees because they wanted a tool to use for commuting. And so I wanted to jump into the conversation because I was hearing, you know, people new to commuting, what tools can they use, and we created this trail map just for them.
Well, thanks, Beth. I appreciate you calling in for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
All righty. Bye-bye. Something we haven't touched on yet is actually the health reasons. I remember the headlines not long ago in the school district, how many kids are overweight, and, you know, certainly diabetes is on the rise. And so just the idea that you can fit some physical activity into your life without getting in a car and and driving someplace to do something, but you can actually do it on your commute. And I thought that was a really cool thing. That's kind of one of the reasons why I do it, because the older I get, the more exercise I need. And I did have a conversation with some folks over at ConocoPhillips, and I said, you guys are a big bicycling community. How did that start? And they told me that it was mostly they have a big wellness component for their employees. And the other thing is they have employees who are interested in that, and so that's why they support it. So I think they're when you look at the bike to work numbers, they're really there. So anyway, I just don't want people to forget that we've got another thing. We're balancing health on the other side. It's not just, you know, the ease of getting to work or whatever. It's also you could build a component into your life of fitness, which is kind of cool. So let's see. I'm just trying to think. There's so much going through my mind because there was so much anticipation about this. I want to remind people that there's a opportunity to speak to the assembly on Tuesday, March 6th. Now, it's hard. Tuesday, March 2nd. I think I was thinking 6 o'clock or something like that.
It's 6 o'clock.
Yeah. And but we're not really sure when people will have that opportunity. You show up. Do you know how it works, Lori? Do you know? Can you give people some sense of, you know, will they get there at 6 and that, boom, they're going to be on, or?
Well, it is a new public hearing, and new public hearings are set to start anytime after 6 o'clock. There are a few other things that have popped up on the agenda ahead of the bicycle plan, but you never know what order they're going to take things in. I mean, the Kanikarm crossing is on there, a few other things. So it's one of those things that be patient. Please show up. The assembly will tell you if are planning to do it on another evening, but and then you'll have your 3 minutes to get up and testify, or if you're a group, like BCA would have 8 minutes.
I see. So you have a bit of a feel. And, of course, we want to remind people what your advice was, to tell some kind of a story that justifies why you support the plan.
Right.
That has somehow more meaningful or staying power, I guess. Stories always have more staying power than just standing up and saying, I like it or I don't like it.
Yeah. When we were at the Planning and Zoning Commission, it was interesting because a couple of the commissioners started talking about how they would rather be not on the road, on the path. And, it got confusing because, it's just people expect that they should be on the Greenbelt trails, but the Greenbelt trails don't always get you where you need to be. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason for this plan.
Right. It's sort of like bicycling has gone to a new phase, which
right.
is it's not just about Sunday afternoon riding in the park. It's about I'm going to work and I've got to be there at 8:30 or something
exactly.
like that. Exactly. So, let's see. We've got a caller who wanted to comment on the health benefits, and I raised that issue, so I want to let Angela on here. Angela, are you there?
I am.
What did you want to say about that?
Well, I wanted to call in support of the plan because for the health benefits. I mean, I think that it would lower the obesity rates. It would definitely help. And it's also going to be less pollution in the air, which is really a problem, more in the winter than the summer.
Uh-huh.
And I don't commute to work right now, but I would like to. But I really don't have a direct route that, can get me from point A to point B instead of trying to figure out how to get on the bike trails and take this route and go out of the way here. And, it just takes way too long and way too much effort, where if you could just get on the road, just like I do drive my car to work, it would be much easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Lori's shaking her head. Yes.
I'm nodding, yes.
Yes, so she's in agreement with you. So that's great. I agree with you, and I think that's why I raised that issue, because obesity is such a big thing. It's on all the headlines, magazine covers. Here's a way you could build it into your life that would be sort of reasonable and get you home at the end of the day, get you to work in the morning, and you get your fitness planning done at the same time. So
exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I just wanted to refer to an email. We've gotten a lot of emails during the show. Randy Kinney sent one in, and he has a question, Lori. It might be good for you. He says, I'm a longtime summer commuter and first-time winter commuter. Over the years, I've noticed an increasing disregard of bicycle pathway facilities by parked vehicles. Does the plan address enforcement to keep vehicles parking in lanes, I guess from parking in lanes and pathways?
We do have a component in the plan, and it not only deals with parking there, but also during construction, because as you know, construction happens
summertime.
And, yeah, and it seems like all the workers' trucks end up on the pathway. So that's something that we do want to implement, and it's an education and it's an enforcement item.
Right, right.
Another issue is even just rolled curbs. You know, they're in a lot of the neighborhoods, but they just get people parking on the pathways and the sidewalks. So.
Right, right. So just little things that can make a big difference.
Right.
I wanted to read Heather's email. She says, I'm a senior citizen who still bikes to virtually everything I do. I have two issues. Cars turning tend to look only one way. And, of course, that was something Brian addressed, which is what makes getting on the road a little bit better than being on a path, on a sidewalk. And the other issue is there is no very safe way to get from downtown to midtown. We need a good accessible trail on the AC corridor. That's a good one to address. I mean, what will the plan do for that?
Actually, on the AC corridor, when we started the plan, we measured all the roads, and they are wide enough if we restripe to stripe a bike lane in. The issue, though, is it's always tricky when you've got a one-way road. Do you put it on the left side or the right side? So we have to work things out with the traffic engineers, but that would be a perfect location, yes.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting the stuff that has to go into this is amazing. I did want to spend just a little bit of time talking about how we're going to pay for it, and what I learned when I read the plan is that there's transportation money coming into roads and that some of it can be allocated for amenities for pedestrians and bicyclists.
Mm-hmm.
There's also grants. What other ways are there that we might look to fund this?
There are grants. There's state grants, and there's also grants from different organizations. I think Brian might know a little more about that. We also applied for some stimulus funds. We applied for $3.6 million so we could go out and stripe a bunch of roads. So there's bond packages. And even just with the construction, as you mentioned, the improvements to roads, just making sure that it's in there, that the bike lanes are included.
Right. Now, I didn't see if there was a timetable. Do we know what's project one, what's project two, anything like that? Or how will those kinds of decisions be made?
What we did, it's really hard to work that out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Know.
Yeah.
We did establish a core bicycle route, which is the main ways into town and across town. And we also noted that any routes which have had crashes, have a history of crashes, those get priority over the others. So those are marked first. They have a little check mark on the list. And we sort of go down from there.
Mm-hmm.
Just where can we start putting things in?
Right. The other thing that, you know, I mentioned that I sometimes throw my bike on the bus in the morning, and I've noticed that there are bike racks on the buses that take two bikes, and there's some that take three. So we've already, you know, started to add more there. I think I read perhaps in the plan the idea of putting some bike parking facilities near bus stops. Are there locations for those, or
That's something we want People Mover to investigate further, and they've noticed it too, because the bike racks on the buses are so popular. They started with the two bike racks, and now they're up to the three. And many times people are waiting for the bus, and they can't get their bike on. In fact, we were just sitting down with Debbie Osiander today, who's the assembly person for Eagle River, and she had wanted some changes, which are really good ideas for the Eagle River area. And one of the things she would like is a park and ride over by Highland Road. And we were almost thinking that would be a great place to put some bike lockers, so that if you were to drive up to that location, you could even store your bicycle there overnight and then just get it out of the locker and head off into town. So
that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I had it here in my list of papers. I wanted to mention, remind folks that we've got good links on the KSKA.org website. You can read the plan. You can find Title IX Rewrite and the public opportunities to comment on that. I've included some of these links that Brian made available to me that show the complete streets approach to combining all your transportation into sort of one umbrella so that the street is a safe place for a pedestrian, it's a safe place for a bicyclist, and it's a safe place for a motorist. So kind of a holistic view of transportation. I know we mentioned enforcement in bike lanes, and there is a clip on there showing New York City's troubles with that, you know, people double parking right in the bike lanes and how bikers have had to swerve out into traffic. And so they're moving sort of more purposefully to separated bike lanes in certain areas just because of the volume of traffic in that city. But I want people to know those links are there. So KSKA.org, you can go there. And I also saw on the BCA website an Anchorage Winter Bicycle Festival and fundraiser, which is March 6th at the BP Energy Center, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. So if you're interested in sort of connecting up with this and learning more about it, that might be a good place to make connections. Certainly the BCA website is on our site. The UAA Bike Club is on there. They do some public information about bicycle issues. So anyway, we're sort of going to get to closing here, and I wanted sort of, Laurie, if there's any sort of last minute things you want to leave with people in their mind as we leave this topic and we've got the hearing in front of us and all this 20 years of planning ahead of us, you want to leave anything with people about this?
I guess just thank people. We've had such interest, and it's people are very positive. They're very excited, and it's really nice to work on something with people that they want to help with, and I see it as a very positive outcome. And so thank you, everyone. This will benefit us all.
Yeah, I imagine when you've put so much time and energy into this, it's probably doesn't feel like you're at the end of the process at all. You're just at the very beginning, but you've been planning for 2 years. I think you first had some hearings and workshops back in 2007, right?
Right.
To get ready for this. Mm-hmm. So, and I believe I also read that there was maybe a working group of bicyclists that were part of this too. So they've been in on it since the beginning.
Yeah, we had about 15 bicyclists, and they were really involved and helped us figure out the first network. So.
Right. And Brian, I also want to give you an opportunity to sort of leave people with some thoughts as we sort of wind down here. You know, what's prominent in your mind? I know that I read in your bio that you came to Anchorage from a bicycling city, Portland, and realized that there wasn't an advocacy group here. So that's really the genesis of the BCA. But you've definitely got a presence here in town now. So what would you like to leave people with?
Well, we're certainly seeing a rise in bicycle use in Anchorage, and the Anchorage Bicycle Plan is the next step necessary to make Anchorage more safe for bicyclists and make bicycle use convenient for bicyclists. But the Anchorage Bicycle Plan is really goes far beyond just benefiting bicyclists. It's about making Anchorage more livable. It's about reducing traffic congestion on our streets. It's about improving our air quality. It's about providing active transportation for people so we can have better health. And strengthening our communities. It's easier to connect with people when you're on a bike.
Well, thanks, Brian.
I'm sorry?
Oh, thank you very much. I just have to wrap up and make a few announcements for next week. So I like leaving people with those thoughts, and I want to thank everybody who participated. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Brian. Next week, Hometown Alaska takes a break. Tune into Radio Lab next Wednesday at 2 to hear stories about adaptation. You may end up thinking differently about war, violence, and human nature. Pat Yak is APTI's Vice President of News and Public Media. Kristen Spack engineered today's program with assistance from Constance Huff. Thanks for listening. Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.